when disaster strikes. Will you be ready?
Good evening, and we begin tonight with the monster hurricane and its deadly impact already.
When all hope is gone, will the government be there for you? If you're looking for ways to take your prepping to the next level, then you've come to the right place. Broadcasting from a secure and well-prepared location, it's time for Prepping 2.0. And now, please welcome authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Well, welcome everybody to episode 34 of Prepping 2.0. We have a great episode. We're going to talk about gangs and the collapse and whether law enforcement will follow unconstitutional orders. Now, if this were just my opinions, that'd be semi-interesting. But how about an expert on this? We have Officer Mack with us, not his real name, and he has extensive experience interviewing senior level gang members, and they've told him some mind-blowing stuff you absolutely need to hear. So I would like to note at the outset, there's no Shelby this week. Shelby is doing a family thing. Family's in from town, and the only time that they could do that was when we record. So there will be no Shelby today. That's okay. We'll live. And let's see. Oh, I wanted to start off by telling everybody about the September Panhandle Preparedness Expo that's going on. This is a cool one. This is a big one. This happens in Sandpoint, Idaho, September 21st and 22nd of 2019. Plenty of time to make your plans. It's really cool when it's in mid to late September. It's kind of like the last family camping trip kind of thing of the year. It's really a neat thing. It's a big one. Shelby and I will be there. We hope to see you. So it's the Panhandle Preparedness Expo. We'll be sending out emails and stuff like this on it, but I wanted to just let folks know. By the way, if you live in the Western U.S., you know, road trip, come on out. Come on out and see us. It's a really fun time. I also wanted to let folks know we're on two more outlets. This is getting crazy. Absolutely crazy. The show is growing so quickly, we can't even like put links up on our websites anymore. We can't keep up with it, but we will eventually have that stuff. The first one is Forward Observer Radio. Forward Observer Radio. That is Sam Culper, who's an intel guy, a former three-letter agency guy, and the prepping intel guy that's just the best. He's the only one I know that does this kind of stuff. And he talks about how to find out information on things like gangs in your area. Boy, that's timely, right? We'll be talking about that. And he has an internet radio station. He has several podcasts and shows. It's quickly filling up with all kinds of good patriot and prepping shows, filling up the time slots. He's carrying Prepping 2.0, and he's going to be carrying another show that I'm affiliated with. What? Brand new announcement. I have a two-hour radio show with call-in, and I'm going to give you the number so you can call in anywhere in the country. It's an absolute blast. It's on 1360 AM KHNC, which is in northern Colorado. KHNC, I've coined the term, and it might be sticking, is the is Colorado's 10,000-watt Patriot flamethrower of truth. Huh? Yeah, that was fun. And so it's this great show. I have a two-hour show. Now, you can listen live if you're in the area. You can listen on the internet live. But the back shows, you know, the archives are available on the 1360 KHNC website. We will be putting up links to the shows on the prepping2-0.com website, and we will also be streaming with iTunes. It will be like an episode of Prepping 2.0 as far as how easy it is to find it and listen to it, but it'll be the separate show. Now, Shelby will be on the show often. We record during the middle of the day, and she has this job or whatever, and it's like, you know, whatever. What kind of limitation is that? So she will be on occasionally, but it's mostly me. I love the call-in format. It is so cool. People call and have the most amazing points to make, and we get to talk and interact. So let me get you some details about that. We'll be sending stuff out on that, but I wanted to get you guys started thinking about that. The show is on from 10 a.m. to noon Pacific, 11 to 1 Mountain, and you can figure out, you know, Central and East Coast time. You can listen live, 1360 KHNC. It's called Open Forum, and it's a show every week with five different hosts, and I'm the Tuesday guy, right? The Tuesday guy. By the way, the Friday guy for a sit-in, like one-time thing, Ted Nugent. How cool is that? And you can go on the KHNC website and listen to the archives under the podcast tab. But we'll be taking care of you guys. We'll get it, you know, set up so it's easy to get these shows. Absolute Hoot, topics, prepping, politics, go all over the place. It's a little more political, I would say, than this show because we focus on prepping here. But it's an absolute blast. So let me give you the call-in number just for laughs so you can, you know, call in during the show. It would be 970-587-5171, 907-587-5171. Hope you call in. It's a great way for us to talk. You know, we don't have a call-in feature on this show, and it's technically very difficult to do. But what the heck, the radio station did it for us. They're like, hey, we're a talk radio station. Of course we can take calls. Anyway, I'm very excited about that. So more information on that coming. Now, you know how it is. We do the top 100 things that go the soonest in a collapse or a crisis. It's the top 100 list that's on our website, prepping2-0. We're on item number 24. And the cool thing about this list is you end up seeing things on there that you never would have thought of, right? I mean, who could sit down and say, oh, here are 100 things that I think you should probably have in a collapse? Nobody could, like, come up with that list off the top of their head. So it's cool to have the list. Item 24, feminine hygiene products. Kind of glad Shelby isn't here because even though I'm a grown man and everything, I find it odd to talk about this topic with, you know, a woman in the room, because it's like I was raised weird, but probably a lot like most of you guys. But anyway, imagine how important this is. Kind of goes without saying. I think a lot of people, a lot of preppers forget this because usually, and I'm going to generalize here, most of the prepping decisions and the priorities often are sort of being driven by men. And quite honestly, I don't think about this topic like ever at all. And so it's easy to not even think this is something that needs to be done, but boy, does it. And the other cool thing about the feminine hygiene product, you know, item is that you can get a bunch of these things. See, I won't even talk about what they are. I call them these things. Isn't that weird? And you can store them. You can, you know, vacuum seal them, keep them dry and everything so they don't get moisture. And you can barter with them. And so think about that. Even if you don't have that situation in your household, right? You don't need those products. It's entirely possible that somebody does, and that you can barter with those things. Look at Venezuela right now, by the way. These items that I refuse to talk about are highly valuable things. And so even if you can't use them, you can buy a lot of friends and allies and informants by having stuff that they need. So don't forget that. You know, we're going to have a new weekly feature. We have a couple weekly features, a brand new weekly feature called How Cool is Switzerland? Okay, we're not going to have a weekly feature on that, but it hit me today how cool Switzerland is. We could probably do a weekly feature. Switzerland, as all you guys know, and as I knew, but only my knowledge was limited to this one thing, and that was in Switzerland, men all have to have, or every family, I guess, has to have a battle rifle in their house. And I always thought that was really cool. Of course, this is historic Switzerland, very strategic area in the Alps, hard to invade. But if you're going to invade it, whoever invades it, you know, the Swiss are going to make sure that that's a very high cost thing to do. And they deterred Nazi Germany, which was like right next door to them pretty much. And they deterred that they haven't been invaded. I want to say Hannibal, right, in Roman times or something, was the last guy to, I think he just passed through the Alps. They haven't been invaded because why? Because they have this resilient, self-reliant mentality. So I knew they all had guns, but here's a story I saw this morning that made me love Switzerland even more. As you know, everyone who has a brain hates just-in-time inventory, right? It's the thing where there's like two packs of Doritos at the grocery store and nobody stockpiles anything. If there's a snowstorm or truckers can't afford diesel and there's no trucks, there's no Doritos. We've all talked about how we hate just-in-time inventory. I did not know that Switzerland has this requirement. I'm not a big fan of government requirements, but I'm actually good with this one, that sort of strategic supplies, ball bearings, spare parts, gasoline, generators, electrical equipment, ammunition, all the kind of stuff that's in all of our garages and basements, right? That they have to, companies have to stockpile that in case Switzerland is cut off from supplies. And the reason this story came out was Switzerland and their spokesman, Benito Flugenflopper, said that coffee is being taken off the list of strategic supplies that they are going to keep a stockpile of. And people are freaking out and saying, I mean, I don't need ball bearings. Yeah, you do when stuff breaks, but I really need coffee. So anyway, I just thought, Switzerland, I love you. And I wish America could be more like Switzerland. Maybe we should start a hashtag or something like, be more like Switzerland, because that country has got it dialed in. I love those guys. Well, now it's time for our IMA moment of the week. And that is Los Angeles, the formerly great city with an incredible quality of life. I remember in the 70s, I would watch Emergency 51. Remember that show, like the firefighters? And then there was Adam 12, and there were these cool cops that were like decent to people and everything. And you just see the scenes, you know, of L.A. as they would be driving their cars or fire trucks or whatever. And you'd say, wow, this is a neat place. It's always sunny. Everything was clean and nice. That's the America we all miss, because that ain't happening anymore. Los Angeles has become absolutely filthy. There are feces and garbage and needles and garbage strewn all over the place. If you ever get a chance, look on YouTube at some of the videos people do where they just start the camera rolling and they drive at like 15, 20 miles an hour, and they drive down streets for like 25, 30 minutes. And all you see as they drive by is homeless camp after homeless camp, wandering people, just garbage piled up. And so when you got garbage piled up, you often get rats, right? This is one of the reasons cities exist and street cleaning exists, is so that people won't get, you know, bubonic plague from rats, which, by the way, is making a comeback after 500 years, is making a comeback in Los Angeles, and along with, you know, all the other things, the measles and the tuberculosis and typhoid and all these other things. So that's the background. The LA City Hall was infested with rats. And so, LA City Council said, well, we got to hire an exterminator and find out what the problem is. As if they didn't know. They're surrounded by like 1,000-foot radius of like garbage and filth and feces, and they wonder where the rats are coming from. The exterminator predictably says, you know what your rat problem is? It would be all the hundreds and thousands of homeless people just leaving their garbage everywhere. Well, apparently now homelessness has become some sort of protected class in this country, where it's politically incorrect to say anything bad or do anything that is unappealing to the homeless. And LA said it cannot possibly be the homeless people surrounding us. You have to walk through doo-doo to get into the LA City Hall. But it can't possibly be that. It's got to be this building a block away that we demolished. That's where the rats are coming from. So they fired the exterminator and said the exterminator was wrong, because apparently political science trumps, you know, disease control science. So anyway, I miss America when, number one, LA was an amazing place. And number two, I miss America because the homeless are now apparently some kind of protected class. Well, anyway, that's a good little introduction to this. We have Officer Mac with us. And Officer Mac, I wanted you to introduce yourself and describe your background.
Hello, Glenn. How are you guys doing today?
Oh, great. Just one of us, though, unfortunately.
That's right. Shelly's off doing Shelly stuff today. My name is Officer Mack. For the last 13 years, I have been an officer with the third largest agency in America, Sheriff's Agency, down here in the Southwest. Just want to disclaimer right now, I am not representing my office when I speak. This is just me talking with you and the listeners out there trying to get some good information out to you guys. Like I said, for the last 13 years, I've been working as a Leo, and I have been working inside of jails. And in the course of that action, I have come across numerous gang members, all the way from foot soldiers all the way up to their hierarchy. And in the course of that action, I met an individual. I'm not going to use his real name. We'll call him Ruben. Ruben was a high-ranking member of the Mexican Mafia, which is known as a security threat group, an STG.
And by the way, when you say the Mexican Mafia, you're not like making up a term or like trying to like, I don't know, be rude or disrespectful to Mexicans. That's like the name of the gang. So I want folks to know this is like the actual name of a major, major Mexican gang.
Oh, absolutely. And the funny thing, there's actually two branches of it. You have the Mexican Mafia, known as EMMA, and then they split apart a few years ago. Actually, it's been a couple of years, maybe a decade or so, where they had a break within the group due to their own internal politics, and now it's the new Mexican Mafia. And they actually don't like each other either. This individual that I met by the name of Ruben is a member of the new Mexican Mafia. And like I said, he's an STG, which is a security threat group. These are your prison gangs. These are the groups that control the prisons. Your primary ones are the new Mexican Mafia, the Aryan Brotherhood, and then the African American ones have been, they've been kind of in flux. You have the kinfolk is what they like to be called. So those are your main ones. And what you have to understand about this hierarchy is, yeah, they're in prison. They're behind bars. They're behind walls. But they still control the stuff that goes out into the streets.
And if you could, sorry to interrupt you. I think people need to understand, because you wouldn't normally realize that almost everyone you're talking to right now, you know, they've never been in prison. They've probably never been in trouble with the law. When you describe the racially based gangs controlling things in prison, I know what you mean by that, but let folks know just how much control the gangs have in prison. Describe some stuff that they control, or yeah, just about everything is the answer, right?
Well, yeah, inside those walls, absolutely. How I like to tell people, my officers, when they come in there and I sit down with them and say, look, here's what you're going to face. These inmates, these individuals that we have in our custody, and understand, in jails, everybody's innocent right now until they go to prison. Prison's where all the guilty people go. But in the jails, there's two sets of rules. There's the rules we give them. We expect them to follow the rules and regulations. Then the inmates have their own set of rules. Each race has rules in place, how they are to act, how they are to dress, how they are to clean, how they are to exercise. There's taxes.
So, and obviously contraband is controlled. I mean, if you want some drugs, and I'm going to guess a lot of folks in jail do, or whatever else, there's awful things in jail too. But anyway, you got to go through a gang, right? And I'm guessing if you're white and you want drugs, you need to get them from the Aryan nations, who are not, that's the Aryan Brotherhood. They're not nice people, the Aryan Brotherhood. No gang is nice, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. For them, they'll tell you everything's about respect. And for the most part, that's true. You show them respect, they'll give you respect. Me personally, I've never had any issues with these guys. You get on the wrong side of them though, and not good things happen. This is when people get hurt. In my state where I live, the New Mexican Mafia, for the most part, runs everything because they have the numbers. But the Aryan Brotherhood, they're probably the most violent. These are the individuals that have zero qualms about sticking a shank in your ribs. And the shank is a homemade knife that they make inside there. And I've seen some very ingenious things. Well, they said they have their rules. They have their hierarchy. They have taxation. Contraband, like you mentioned, that's currency to them. When they get their commissary, their ramen noodles, their sodas, or whatever they have there, that is money. Each item has a worth. So if you want some drugs, say you really want, you know, want to smoke a joint, they're going to tell you it's going to cost you 10 items. You want something more, that's going to cost you more. You want pornography, here's what the cost is. They have an economic system inside those walls. It's the officer's job to break that up. You know, we have different measures that we have in place, which I'm not going to quite go into, to identify those things and to try to break it up. But it's a continual battle is what we have.
And I think this is amazing. First of all, people don't really know what happens in these places, which is probably best. But what you're describing to me is like a mini government. You know, you talk about taxes, you talk about every part of life being regulated. I don't mean like a good government either. I mean like government in most of the world. It kind of reminds me of like Hezbollah in southern Lebanon. I mean, they don't have any official status, but they run everything. And if you cross them, you know, you will be killed. And people need to understand that is the way it is in prison. Also, they need to understand because I'm going to say everybody listening, we're colorblind people. We don't care about race. We don't think about it. It's just not like how we think. One of the things in talking to you that I found so fascinating was race is absolutely everything in prison in the sense that that determines which gang controls your life. I mean, is that accurate?
100%. Here's where I have to laugh, and it's more of an ironic laugh than anything for the simple fact that years ago I worked at this one place and we would give tours to it. And so I would get, you know, Joe Public and his wife and kids that would come by there, and I would explain to them everything that you see and you know, what you think about prison schemes, you don't know. We believe in this whole system of justice, fairness. No matter the color of your skin, we're going to treat you equal. You get inside there? No. It is actually broken down by race. If you're African American, you are running with them. If you are white, you're running with the whites. Hispanics are broken up into two different groups. You have Chicano, which is Mexican American. These are individuals born here in America. Then you have another group called Paisa. Paisa are the individuals that are born outside of the United States, Mexico, South America, Central America. Those two groups, for the most part, don't like each other either. So you have this whole dynamic of race. They get mad, and they actually have their own, like I said, their own set of rules. They will not house with another race. Let that sink in there. That, you know, we think to ourselves, oh, everybody should be treated equally. It doesn't matter where you are. There you walk in. If you're a white guy and the officers say, okay, you're going to house with this black guy, no, I'm not going to do that. They're going to tell you straight up, I will fight him. And I understand it to a degree for the simple fact is that if he goes in and houses with that person of another color, his own race is going to stomp him. They're not going to kill him, but they're going to stomp him. They're going to beat his backside so he understands these are the rules that are in place. Or what they have to do is if they don't want to fight, they're going to have to come to me and say, hey, Officer Mack, I need to go into protective custody. And that's the lowest of the low within their own societies. Anybody that's afraid, they go into protective custody. Now, no matter what happens once they come out, they're going to be labeled because there's lines of communications within these facilities. They know who you are. It's also called being paper checked. The moment you walk into those places, a representative of your race is going to walk up to you and say, give me your card, which is your booking card, excuse me, that has all your information. They're going to look at it and see what your charges are. Some charges will get you automatically stumped. Like if you're a child molester or you commit crimes against the elderly, they don't want you around them. Those are the taboo crimes.
Boy, and we're gonna have to pick this up on the other side of the break. This is fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Stick with us, Officer Mack, gangs in the collapse, and constitutional or not law enforcement. Please stick with us. Thank you.
We'll be right back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate right after this.
Prepper Press is a small, independent publisher of survival nonfiction and post-apocalyptic fiction. At PrepperPress.com, you'll find a variety of books to guide you on your journey to prepare for a compromise to the electrical grid, natural disasters, economic collapse, political strife, or similar scenarios that could disrupt life as we know it. You'll also discover fictional yet believable stories about what happens to society when everything falls apart. To learn more, visit Prepper Press online at PrepperPress.com.
Hi everyone, Glenn Tate here.
And Shelby Gallagher here. People always ask us whether a particular property would be good for prepping.
Well, luckily there's someone who does this for a living, and that's Brian at Strategic Landscape Design. He's a bug out location consultant for a new property or the one you already have.
Strategic landscape design shows you how to make your property productive for you now and when the collapse comes. Visit strategiclandscapedesign.com and see all the things Brian can do for you and your property. That's strategiclandscapedesign.com.
PrepperNet, where preppers unite. Looking to meet other like-minded people in your area? Looking to start your own prepper group? Already have a group? Join PrepperNet.com. PrepperNet has gathered the biggest names in the industry to help unite preppers everywhere. Join John Jacob Schmidt, Scott Hunt, Dr. Bones and Nurse Amy, Glenn Tate, Shelby Gallagher, Charlie Hogwood, Samuel Culper, Survivor Jane, Rick Austin, Franklin Horton, Ryan Mitchell, and Brian Duff. Our team is united. Check us out at PrepperNet. PrepperNet, where preppers unite. PrepperNet.com.
And we're back with more of Prepping 2.0 with authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher.
Well, we're back in the second segment. Officer Mack was telling us some mind-blowing stuff about gangs in prison and life in prison. The reason this matters, and he'll touch on this in a moment, is these people in prison eventually get out. And they might cycle out and come into the communities in peacetime, and they're going to keep thinking and acting the way we're describing it is in prison. The second thing is, and he can talk about this in a while, I guess, that is, you know, in a collapse, the prisons are going to probably get opened up, right? You're going to have, what are there, 2 million people incarcerated in this country right now? And to some degree or another, they're used to this brutal, violent, structured, race-based sort of life, and when they are just thrown out into society and there are no police around anymore, it's going to be up to us, you know, patriots, to try to deal with this stuff. And you need to know your enemy and how vicious it is. But keep going. When you were talking about the way life is in prison, this is fascinating.
Like I said, it's there's no way to paint a pretty picture. This isn't Orange is the New Black. I hate shows like that that paint it as knuckle-dragging officers that come in there and these wonderful, wonderful criminals that are just misunderstood. This isn't what it is. It's a hierarchy. It's structured. Like I told you, when they come in, they get paper checked. They want to see who you are. You have to understand, these gangs, these STGs, security threat groups, they run the streets. They still dictate. So your New Mexico Mafia, your Aryan Brotherhood, these guys dictate what happens on the street. For the simple fact is that your low-level street gang members, they know at some point in their life they're probably going to go to jail. They're going to go to prison. And when they go in there, they need a name for themselves. They have to be that individual that worked for whatever the street gang name is, that they're a solid individual in the eyes of these STGs. So when they come in, someone's going to vouch for them, like, hey, this is Mikey. He's one of us. He's a good guy. So they come in with a little bit more prestige. If you come in and you're not really known, they're going to make you prove yourself, which means you're probably going to hold the drugs. You're going to probably be taxed at a higher rate. You are going to have to do their bidding, which means, yeah, you're probably going to have to fight. They're going to tell you, because there's a dispute between the races. Normally what happens is they don't want full-out riots and brawls. That's bad for business because things get shut down. They get locked down for days on end. They don't get to communicate with family and loved ones. So what they'll do is they'll pick one person from the race. The other race will pick someone, go in the cell and hash it out. Whoever wins, that settles the dispute. That's how it goes inside there. It's barbaric in a way. Like I said, these gangs that are inside the prisons are ruthless. They're violent. They do not care about you. The one thing people don't understand, because a lot of times people get in their minds with gang members, is what they see in the movies. You know, the kid holding the gun sideways. Or we think about Antifa, the feminine looking male with his little man bun holding his gun all to the side. Yeah, sure, there's some of those guys that are in those gangs. But for the most part, you understand these guys, violence is their language. Violence is their currency. This is something that they are completely comfortable with. Now, you flip the script on our side of the Patriots. How many of us are comfortable with violence every day? How many people are comfortable if you look at them crossway, you're going to fight them? Most of us aren't. We're quote-unquote civilized individuals. These individuals, it's gladiator school inside there. They teach them to fight. They show them techniques. They're learning how to do things. How many people on our side have that mindset of violence? How many of us, when we go shooting, practice stress shooting? How many of us do weapons manipulation malfunction? Hey, you can stand in front of a target on angle plink and you think that you're qualified. When it hits the fan, when you've got 5, 6, 7, 8, a dozen gang members knocking on your door because they know who you are, the street gangs out there, They're already marking. They see the Gadsden flag flying. They see the NRA sticker on your bumper. They think, this is a house with guns. This is somebody that we want to go investigate. Are you willing to do the violence? We all say it. Yeah, I'm going to take care of my family. I'm going to do what I have to do. And I pray to God that every one of us out there can do that. I've seen officers freeze when it comes to violence. And these are individuals that are trained in that stuff. These gang members, they're not going to freeze on you. They are a wolf pack. They're coming to your house. They're going to come late at night. We like to call it the hour of the wolf, like 3 o'clock in the morning. Most of us are in sleep. They're coming into your house. They're going to take what you have. When I talked to Ruben, the Mexican mafia leader guy, he has a plan. And it sent shivers down my spine when you have this individual. You have to understand, this guy is insanely smart. I mean, incredibly smart. I can't stress that enough to you listeners out there that these aren't just all dumbass drug addicts out there. There's a lot of individuals within their hierarchy that are very, very intelligent. He taught himself the stock market. He's made a lot of money through the stock market. He reads. And that's what I asked him. How do you learn this stuff? He goes, man, I got nothing but time. I can sit there and educate myself on whatever topic I want to. I mean, for him, these guys, they communicate through an ancient Aztec language. I'm going to slaughter the name. Nahuatl, I think is how it's said. I could be absolutely wrong. But it's an ancient Aztec language that they communicate. Most of us can't even communicate in our own language, let alone a foreign dead language.
So they have a code, basically. They have an ancient language. They all have to learn, right? There's some discipline, and you're going to learn this language. And this is a military or a governmental kind of thing. The organization, the hierarchy, the code. Oh, my goodness. Keep going. This is amazing. People need to hear this.
No, absolutely. It is structured. You know, this isn't a bunch of guys sitting around watching TV, getting stoned, getting high, getting drunk. They have structure, and they take pride in what they have. They have a heritage, is what they have. Like, look at the New Mexican Mafia. They have their structures from their captains, lieutenants, down to their sergeants, to the street soldiers they have. They have to learn the ancient warrior society of the Aztecs to be in there. When you move up those ranks, you have to learn. The Aryan Brotherhood is the same way. The Aryan Brotherhood was communicating in between facilities, and they were using the bilateral code developed by Francis Bacon. It took a team of FBI agents to crack this code. Their lines of communication are so advanced, so deep, that most people don't understand it. They were sending letters back and forth. When a few people just to read the letter, I'm like, Bob says hi, hope everything's going good. Jill just had a baby. Well, they have their code, and they're able to look at that, and they break it down to, the order is to kill Sam, or whatever it is. So they could sit there and decipher it, saying, okay. And nobody moves within these gangs unless the hierarchy says, you do this. There is to be no initiation of violence at all. If a member of another race attacks a member of another race and it's not sanctioned, that other race is going to go to the initiator and say, either you handle this or we're going to handle this. And you want your own race to handle it, because normally then it's just going to be a beatdown. If the other race handles it, it's not going to be pretty. So they try to control their violence, but the hierarchy dictates everything that happens. So there's always things moving behind the scenes. There's always that power struggle that's going to go on between the groups. And for the most part, it comes down to numbers and violence. And these groups will sit there and decide, okay, we're going to control this aspect of it. You're going to control that aspect. Ruben, that I was telling you about, when I met him, we were talking, and I know it sounds like I'm blowing smoke up the backside here, people, but I was actually walking with another person, and I was talking about reading your book, the 299 Days series, and Ruben happened to be out in his day room at this time, and he says to me, hey, Mac, you talking about this book series? I'm like, yeah. He goes, man, I read them.
Are you kidding me? No. A gang leader in prison is reading my books.
Right. You have to understand, these gang members that we call them, they read advanced. They're reading the laws of power. They read Machiavelli. They read things. And that's what I encourage you people out there, too. Yeah, there's things that we hate. I'm sure not too many of us out there are Bernie Sanders people. But read something by him and understand their mindset. That's what they do. They understand the mindsets of things. So the idea of a collapse, this is gold to them. That if a collapse was to happen, the stuff hits the fan, they have a plan. And that's what I asked him. I said, okay, what are you going to do if a collapse happens? And he told me, he goes, look, I got one of two things that's going to happen. One, you guys are going to walk out of here and lock us in. And he goes, there's nothing I can do about that. He goes, I'll die in here. And he's at peace with that. The other one is he's thinking that some member of my side is going to have a heart, a conscience, if you will, and is going to let him out. Or who knows, maybe somebody in the hierarchy is going to say, you know what, society's falling apart here. We got a partial collapse. We don't have the manpower anymore to do this because officers are staying home. We're going to let out, quote unquote, the nonviolent gang members to reduce our stuff. And they're going to open the doors and let individuals out. And he says, okay, let's say I get out on the streets. He's out on the streets. He's within his kingdom now. He has his people in place. He has his pawns. You know, and like I said, they don't have a problem with violence. They have zero problems sending low-level gang members to your house to shoot it up. They have zero problems about lobbing a Molotov cocktail through your window. You know, I know up there where you guys live, you have Antifa. Where I'm at down there, luckily enough, I don't have them. But it's, to me, it'd be nothing for them to go, oh yeah, this is the house over here that has the Trump sticker on his bumper car. We don't like this guy. So, and we know he has guns, so we're not going to take him on one-on-one. We'll wait till the middle of the night, and we're going to lob a Molotov through his window. You know, it's going to be a guerrilla tactics that they're going to use. I'm sorry, can you say something?
No, I took the mute button off because I was done coughing. So, this is amazing. So one of the things that I find that you mentioned something, and we're going to keep going with the gang's plans in the collapse, but you mentioned something that's very intriguing to me, and that is maybe the guards in a collapse locking everybody in, or maybe the guards letting some people out, or maybe the guards getting compromised. I could see a gang member saying, hey guard, I'm gonna kill your family unless you let us out. And I know there are mechanisms in place, I'm not asking the details because I'm sure that's secret, about how you can unlock a prison and let people out. Describe the topic of, in a collapse, are prisons going to get opened up, or are these guys going to get locked inside? Because that's a great concern to everybody listening. Because if these folks are out there, you know, in our community when there's no police, that's probably my biggest issue. I mean, food and water come second compared to having these guys trying to come in my house. What's the deal in a collapse with guards?
Well, first of all, to understand, I don't work in a prison. I'm not around that. I currently work in a jail setting, which is a little bit different than the prison, but human nature is human nature. Like I said, one of two things is going to happen. You're going to have the officers that say, screw this, I'm going home. I don't care. I'm not coming in. Or you're going to have the people with a conscience that don't want it on their heads, that they're going to let these people basically starve to death inside a jail. Or, like you had mentioned, these individuals know who we are. Where I work, we had... again, Ruben told us, he goes, look, if I want you hit, all I have to do is call up a little homie on my phone and tell him, here's what he's done. And he mentioned, he goes, you guys come out, oh, the north side building over here about 2:30 every day, right? Nothing for a little homie to swing by with an AK and spray you guys. We've done cell searches where we found our information inside there. Phone numbers, spouses' names, addresses. And that came in from a lawyer that had it. Because you have to understand, a lot of these people, they don't like us, so they're going to do everything in their power to help them. So, yeah, I could definitely see somebody saying, hey, Bob, you and Carol live at 123 Evergreen, and how about you open this door up or I'm going to make a phone call? I could definitely see something like that happening. You know, or, like I said, you have the higher-ups that are, you know, within the politics. They don't want this. They got society pressure. Because you understand, a lot of these gang members have their neighborhood support. It's like a Robin Hood for these guys. These guys are, some of these individuals are heroes to them. You know, it's the little man versus the big man. The 99% versus the 1%er. You know, that they've been kept down their entire lives. That they're not able to get ahead because the rich bureaucrats are the ones that are holding them down. So, they're heroes. So maybe they come down to the jails and they're protesting, they're yelling, they're screaming, they're knocking on the doors. So maybe they open up the doors and let these people out into society. I mean, who knows how that's going to go? But I could definitely see, because most people, at their human nature, they don't want violence. Like I said, they don't want death. They don't want the remorse of thinking, oh my God, I just let 500 people starve to death. So yeah, I could see them opening up.
That was my next question. You know, if you, I know it's going to vary, but like, what are the odds of the prisons being opened up in whole or in part? And it sounds like the odds are, you know, pretty decent. I think especially because of the gang ability to intimidate and coerce the guards. And, you know, and then there's politicians involved. If you're in a left-wing place and there's a collapse, I'm not trying to be sarcastic or facetious here, but, you know, we need to empty the prisons because we need the votes. I'm halfway kidding, but I'm halfway not kidding. So it sounds like, and correct me if I'm wrong, that we as preppers need to figure out where the prisons and jails. Now, of course, jails are the smaller facilities where people are held pending trial and for only for up to a year and stuff. And some more misdemeanors probably than felonies in jail. But and then the prisons are the prisons, and that's people who have been convicted and they're in there for 50 years and stuff. Does it sound like a good idea? I think it does, for people to figure out where the jails and prisons are in their area and expect those things to be emptied and deal with the consequences accordingly. Is that a good idea?
Oh, amen. You know, we're called preppers for a reason, right? We prepare for worst case scenarios. And that is obviously one of the things on the table you need to look at. If you're living right next to a prison, I would move. I mean, straight up, I would move. I mean, it's scary enough when everybody's locked down. You have to worry about the escape or whatever. But the doors opening up, I mean, come on, we're seeing it right now. We're seeing politicians that want to give individuals the right to vote. You know, these felons that are out there. I mean, this, let's call it what it is. It's the Democrat agenda that they have. It's the slow moving of the needle, which the needle has been moving faster over the last, oh, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 years for some reason, that they're trying to get more of the criminal element involved. You're going to see the doors probably open. You're going to get these individuals coming out into your society. Like me personally, I live 30 miles away, approximately 30 miles away from where I work. And if it was a collapse, let's say a full-blown collapse, I'm not going to work. I'm staying home with my wife. I'm taking care of what I have here. Excuse me, my dogs are in the background losing their minds right now. I'm going to stay home and take care of my family. That's my priority. A partial collapse, a weak collapse, maybe I go in. I don't know how it's going to be. You know, we all want to say that we're going to do this, we're going to do that, but if you need a job, say you got a loved one at home that has medical needs, you need insurance. Maybe you're going to go to work. Maybe, you know, you need that money for whatever the reason is that we do. I mean, because we all work and we all do it for money for the most part. So maybe in a partial collapse, officers go in. But a full-blown collapse, I don't see officers coming in. It's just going to be one of those things like, no, I'm taking care of my family. Now, these are conversations I've had with my people. I mean, we throw out the hypotheticals all the time. You know, what do you do about massive civil unrest? What are we going to do about this? What are we going to do about that? And for the most part, we're taking care of our families. Just like everybody else out there, that if something was to happen, they'd take care of their families. Like the truck drivers, you think they're going to travel across the country to deliver your bags of Cheetos? No, they're not. They're going to sit home with their families. All of us are going to try to hunker down. Even though the government's going to try to say, oh, everything's normal, everything's good. No, it's not. We know that. We could see it. There's been times out where I'm at here where we've had different things that were planned. And, you know, like you guys out there, everywhere I travel, I have a plan. I'm getting home, and whatever that means. I'm lucky enough I live in a state where we have open carry, that it's not strange to see an individual with an AR or, you know, with a pistol on their hip. So I'm lucky enough in that aspect that if I had to, I'm prepared to get home. Like in the states where they have stricter gun laws, God bless you guys. I mean, seriously, hopefully you guys have plans, because if those prison doors open up, those jail doors open up, my jails, we're talking 10,000 individuals just in jails, anywhere from misdemeanors all the way up to mass murderers that are in there. They're going to come out. And so if these gang members come out, these individuals with plans, these individuals with their built-in armies that are in place, a full-blown collapse. And so they have the plan. They're taking over the drugs. And I'm not talking about just illegal drugs. I'm talking about your pharmaceutical drugs. Now think about this. You have a loved one at home that needs a vital medication. You don't have to go through the gangs to get that. They have you by the you know what. They are going to tell you, here's the price that you're going to pay. You're going to give me your guns. You're going to give me your ammunition. You're going to give me food. You're going to give me water. Hell, you're going to give me protection. You're going to do what you have to, and you're going to pledge allegiance to these gangs so you can get that vital medication, those individuals. You know, this is one of the things where I hope for with the preppers, they have that planned to get those things. You're not named item today. Yeah, those are things that definitely should be thought of when this happens. You got teenage girls at home. They need feminine hygiene products. You're out. You're going to have to go to the gangs. Guess what? They're controlling every aspect of every need that you have.
Tell folks about the thing you talked to me about, which was, and we have about 5 minutes left in this segment until the after show for Patreons, but Ruben talked about the facilities. They have solid plans to take down and control. This is mind-blowing. Go ahead and tell folks what that is.
Well, Ruben, like I said, this is an individual that studies people. And Ruben's not going to be unique in this aspect. I'm sure every race has these individuals in place. They understand human nature and what we need. We're talking, like I said, pharmaceutical drugs. We're talking about water. Well, I think there's, I could be wrong, or maybe somebody that knows better. I think there's only one city in America that is on gravity-fed water. I think that's San Francisco. Okay, yeah, let's all go to San Francisco. Everything else is going to be controlled by the gangs. They're going to be taking over those water pumps. They're going to be taking care of the water treatments. They're going to control those aspects. They understand these are the things that a society needs to function. You control it. You control the people. And that's what they have in place. Gasoline? Oh, yeah. You're going to be going through the gangs. I mean, come on. America is – gasoline is America's blood. We're so vast. We're so large. Nothing moves. Like we said, the truck, the sales with the trucks coming in and out, they're going to control those things. If you don't have gas, nothing's moving. That's why I tell you, everybody, have your food preps in place, because I'm not going to those gangs. There's no way in hell I'm going to go over to them on bended knee and ask for water. I'm not going to ask them for food or for medications that I need. It's not going to happen. I know them. They're violent. They have no problems about it, because I'm telling you right now that you can't negotiate with them. You're not. If you surrender, you're done. We have to have that plan in place. These are individuals that are going to control the aspects of your lives. Roadblocks, probably so. I could imagine they're going to set up tolls. You want to pass from my road or go over to here? Okay, it's going to cost you. You know, these are things that. It's almost medieval is what it would turn into. I could see it. Like I said, these individuals have the plan. I see the gangs, like in prison, they're going to work out their territories. They're going to say, okay, you control the north part, we'll control the south part. You guys over here control the west, you control the east. They'll divide up their little kingdoms, you know, and this is what you're possibly looking at.
Boy, and one thing that, and preppers need to hear this, but another thing, preppers, you need to get out of your mindsets. You're probably nice people. You've probably never been around violence. And you got to quit thinking that your biggest threat is going to be people like you. Yeah, you got to worry about people like you. And people get hungry and the golden hordes and your neighbor turning you in and all the stuff we talked about. Yeah, that's still there. My advice, and I hate saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway, profile. If somebody, you know, Aryan Brotherhood teardrop tattoo, which means he's killed somebody, you know what? Go ahead and assume that that's a bad person and go ahead and act accordingly. And patriots, armed patriots, we are going to spend a lot of our time and a lot of us are going to get killed trying to take back gas stations and rooting out the gangs. It's going to be patriots versus gangs. And you got to understand who the enemy is and what the battle lines are. You got to understand how ruthless your enemy is. People, this is a shock out of reality, you know, or shock into reality for folks. And by the way, another thing, I hate to even talk this way, but I got to be honest. It's a thought that's occurred to me. When it comes to prisons emptying out in a collapse, let's say they're emptied out and they're now empty. Patriots know where these places are, because we're going to have people that we're going to round up and we're going to need to throw in jails and prisons to contain them. So if the jails are empty, view that as an asset that needs to be controlled because we're going to have guests that we're going to be putting in there. It's going to be some of these gang members. It's going to be some of the other people, because the police aren't going to be around for the most part. And we got a few more seconds until we go into the after show, and we're going to continue talking about gangs. But another topic that Officer Mack's going to talk about is this thing about, will law enforcement follow unconstitutional orders? He talked about a lot of law enforcement staying home, but this is an important topic. I'll shortcut it and say this. Hey, preppers, don't count on 911, because when, you know, the New Mexican Mafia or fill in the blank name of the gang is out running stuff and exacting tolls and all that other stuff, don't expect to call 911. This is why you got to do it on your own. It's why you got to be armed. And it's why you have to have the mental toughness to understand that things are going to get really ugly. And we've painted a picture, Officer Mack and I today, painted a picture what it's going to look like. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening to the regular portion of the show. We're done with that. And then if you're a Patreon supporter, we'll see you in the after show. Thank you very much, Officer Mack.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Prepping 2.0 with authors Shelby Gallagher and Glenn Tate. All of the fun and easy prepping information heard on this podcast can be found online at prepping2-0.com. You can also find out more about Glenn's books online at 299days.com and about Shelby's books online at agreatstate.com. Until next time, be smart, be safe, and be prepared.